This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, with a light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Nichols Family Lawyers. Family law advice for the LGBTI community you can trust. We have expertise in all areas of law relating to rainbow families, including surrogacy, sperm and egg donation agreements, adoption, co-parenting arrangements, and arrangements for children after separation. Mention Joy and receive a free 30-minute consultation. Find out more and get in touch at nicholslaw.com.au. Nichols Family Lawyers are a proud Joy sponsor.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family Matters.
Welcome to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. And have a guess, we are celebrating, no one would have guessed it, 1 year on air.
1 year already.
Yeah, I know. Oh, and we're joined by our very lovely producer, Gina, and Mama Mish.
Hello, hello, hello.
Well, welcome. It was funny, I had to go through all the clips, and I was actually away for our very first show.
Were you?
I was in Port Douglas.
That's right.
Staying in accommodation that actually banned babies and kids that stay, which was highly appropriate.
And we spoke to you on the phone, didn't we?
Yeah, I actually called in. So.
Oh, yeah, true, you did.
Yeah, but it's been hilarious kind of. So tonight's a mashup.
It is.
It is a mashup. I'm looking forward to some of the things you say.
Oh, I'm really
and
not.
I know some of the words you say repeatedly, so I'm looking forward to some of these things.
I absolutely know the words.
But I tell you, we've interviewed some big names in the 12 months.
You kind of grooved into them really well, though.
I grooved into a lot of them, yes. Unfortunately, everybody hated that word. And I've canned it about 6 months in, I think.
That's the thing. Like, there is... Okay, I'm going to just give everyone a taste.
Oh, go on.
All right, first episode, here's a little taste of David.
I was really, really nervous.
He was a little bit nervous. So this is David, episode one. This is Mish and Beck and Dave, first episode, Family Matters Ever.
I'm a little bit nervous. I'll tell you that right now. I am the rookie. I'm the work experience kid. I'm here for my on-air debut. I don't know how to ease my way into this.
So everyone has to picture this. So we've all got the token whatever's in the group, right? And as we're talking on Messenger and Facebook, everyone's got their different things they throw in and things they joke about. But then there's David freaking out going, yes. What am I doing? I don't know. You've only just done the Taste of Radio course.
I have, yes, just recently. So this is my on-air debut. This is my first 2 minutes on radio.
I'm so excited I'm here for it. Is this what it's like to be a parent, Michelle?
I think it is.
Yeah.
No, we're proud of you. We'll look after you.
Becky, don't have to change my nappy, okay? It's not that kind of experience.
It's not that kind
of
thing.
Oh, that is embarrassing. That is really embarrassing listening
to that
again.
And now you can change your own nappies. You're okay now.
Yeah, I've sort of progressed a little bit, I guess, yes. Just a little bit.
It really was your radio debut.
There's also a moment in that show where I say, I think somebody asked me a question. I think, Michelle, you asked me, do I have nephews or something? And I say, I do about 5,000 times. I don't know. I'm just really, hopefully I've progressed a little bit in the 12 months, but it's been great fun on Family Matters.
It has been. Now, Dave, we want to hear from the audience. Is there a particular guest that you loved hearing from? Is there a particular show you loved hearing? How can they message in and tell us what they want to hear?
Text on 0427 joy949 or you can email onair@joy.org.au. Some of my favourites. Now, I don't really want to say too many because I don't know who's listening. But I do like, we've had her on 3 times, I believe, Dr. Anne Polinis, because she's been full of information.
I think for me, still the favourite one, and it's a phrase I'm always still saying, is the happy little Vegemite Georgia, who is the 20-year-old daughter of Rainbow Parents. And as we asked, are the kids of Rainbow Parents all right? So then, and she did the artificial insemination where they went and had the sterilized Vegemite jar, and she became
she was
Vegemite.
Officially a happy little Vegemite. Like when
she
we
was.
actually So that that was the thing. She kind of talked about how special she felt. 21 years ago, she knew what her mums were doing was actually illegal.
But didn't she take that going forward when she was talking to people? That was her phrase. She had the light bulb moment herself going, oh, I really am.
And now I feel bad because that's a joke. She gets called the official happy little Vegemite. But so we had, you know, one of my favourite shows was having the kids that went up to Canberra. So Raffy, Callum and Maud. Who are Felicity's kids from Rainbow Families Victoria. And I think that those kids were – I wasn't in the studio. You were all in the studio with them. But, my goodness, such well-behaved kids. They taught us manners.
They did. Yeah.
And we have learned so much through this show how to work with each other. But those kids that night taught us how to put up our hands when we're ready.
That's right. We don't even know how to do that. Also, we've had Maud on twice. And how grown up.
Oh my God, she's almost as tall as me, which is not hard.
How about Rodney?
Rodney, Gay Dads Australia, teaching us how you can't have a kid in the back of a barina, not for gays. It's not that simple for us.
Also, don't forget his 10 grand donation during Radiothon week as well.
Amazing. Thank you.
Let's not forget about that. We've had Joe Hurston. We've had the commish on as well.
We had the commish. My favourite, Roz Ward, who was busting the myths about safe schools, which unfortunately not enough people heard, and we know where Safe Schools is at the moment. We love our books.
Movies.
We love our books and movies. We've had Hares and Hyenas in. We've had authors. Jessica Walter.
Hares, Hares and Hyenas. We've had Tony Ayres.
We've had Tony Ayres, a TV executive for Nowhere Boys, which is a LGBTQI must show for kids.
And just recently as well, we had Bex Idol, Peter Coombe, who sang for us. Live in studio. That was one of my favourites too.
That was actually too much fun. Now, that was emotional. These shows, I mean, we can't capture everything in this mashup tonight, but Peter Coombe, Joe Hurst, Roz Ward, all these interviews. Dave, where can they find these? Where can they catch
up? You can, what is it, the Available Vibe podcast at joy.org.au, or you can search for Joy Family Matters on, how do you say it in that American accent? iTunes.
Now, I know we teased you a little bit earlier, Dave, but you quickly found your groove. After that first episode, in fact, you found it a little bit too much.
Point nine, and this is the time where we just sort of groove into our interview.
That's right.
Groove in?
Yeah. We'd like to welcome...
And this is the part of our show where we groove into our interview.
And Bex just rolled her eyes.
Groove. Come up with a new word, Dave.
And this is the part of our show where we groove into our interview.
You're dying to say that.
Now, this is the time of the show where we groove into our interview.
Groove?
Must we continue with the groove?
I'm not sure I'm up to date with that. Are you going to dance on the table for
Dave
us?
No, Dave likes to say it. If you can think of a better word for Dave to say, then you can SMS that in.
Let's groove into it.
That's right. Groove into an interview.
I don't know where I actually got that from.
We need to find Dave a new word.
Yeah, we do. And if you'd like to find Dave a new word, message in on 0427JOY949.
Hashtag find Dave a new word.
That's right.
Exactly.
But what I liked about those audio clips are separate audio clips from different weeks, but they sound like the exact same clip.
So some of those were from the earlier shows when we were still finding our feet here. And what I loved about this, we were all working with each other for the first time on this show when we kind of got together. I'd sort of stepped in and sat in on a few transposition episodes with you, Michelle. But
the oldest working girl, or was it?
Working girl? I was the... Well, that's another title I go by. But oldest work experience chick in the Enjoy. But it did take us a little while to sort of figure ourselves out. And, you know, we were learning all about each other on air live with an audience and, you know, getting to know about Beck and getting to know about yourself, Michelle, and the things we're all comfortable with.
Now we got somebody who's saying my partner and I are about to have our first gay baby and so proud of our Auntie Beck. Oh, Auntie Beck, for her support. Good luck tonight, Beck. Love, Zoe and Alice.
Oh, they are two of my very bestest friends and I'm very excited about their gay baby. I'm going to their lesbian baby shower in a couple of weeks, as I call it.
Oh.
And I'm interested to see if it's the same as a straight baby shower, i.e. boring and I will drink in the corner.
Oh, do you think maybe at a gay baby shower it might have it's lesbians, maybe a bit more plaid.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Or flannel.
Do you think I should wear plaid or flannel?
I think you have to.
I'll take that on board.
It's a requirement. Well, what I love most about our stories is the person telling the story is still comprehending what they're thinking. Like, Beck's telling the story, but then she's like, maybe I should be doing this, or maybe I should be doing that. And we're like, well, we've grown as well. We've grown into a little family ourselves over the time. So, But helping each other through different scenarios.
And that's the thing. I think, you know, we always said this was going to be a lighthearted show, but I didn't think we realized how much comedy we'd actually find.
Oh, most definitely. And just how we've, you know, how we're sort of addressed and how people, you know, interact with us.
Yeah.
Now, since this show, everywhere I go, even on Facebook, I got Mama Mish, I need some help with this. I'm going, how did I become the community's mama?
Yeah, you are the community's mama.
I am. I really am now.
Actually, it's funny enough, no one's asked me on the streets for any family advice.
No, but someone who gets asked for a bit of family advice is Adrian, and I do warn you, it might not be something we should be checking in with him.
Did they know you were...
fan of Katie Lang?
Yes. I never like saying it on the radio. I don't want to out you.
The word you're looking for is lesbian.
Yeah, well, did they know you were a lesbian?
Sorry?
did your family know you were a lesbian?
Oh, look, you're a lesbian, Jenny. No.
Did you see that photo of me and Kinder?
Yes.
I think the world knew.
Your grandparents? You're a couple of lesbians and you are looking to start a family. There's a little ingredient that you need. In order to make your cake and put it in the oven. And it's not the eggs. The eggs in the cake are sorted, but...
That's a good intro.
Is this how you could explain the facts of life to your children?
Yeah, I'm like, when you make a cake, you need milk and you need eggs. And you need a bit of flour. I'm not sure what the flour bit is, but they understand.
So our guest here is a bottle of milk.
Our guest here is the bottle of milk. Daniel Nags, you are more than that. You are a person, but to be honest.
Daniel the milk Nags.
He's the milkman. He's the milkman.
I've been called worse.
Yeah.
I'm not even supposed to be here tonight, but I couldn't avoid this conversation, listening to Adrian talk about lesbians and sperm and...
Stop it.
I thought I was watching My Kitchen Rules for a minute at the start. I was like, what is this recipe for and can I make it at home?
Oh, I really do miss Adrian. You can see, I didn't know much about Adrian before like his time at Joy, but he used to do breakfast radio 3 days a week.
Yeah. And Adrian, you know, like me, I struggled with the word sperm. He struggled with the word lesbian. And we soon found out that Adrian likes something more than just, you know, he likes his lists. And he likes to organise his kids' lunches, yes, even before they've started needing to take lunches.
Now, Mama Mish, need some advice.
Yes, Daddy.
You're an older woman, an older mother.
How dare you?
No, what I actually mean to say is your children are older.
Yes, they are. They are. I've been through the wars a little bit more than you.
How old?
7 and 10.
7 and 10. Mine are only a very, very young 5 years old.
Yes.
So it's been a big couple of weeks because we've been orienteering for school next year because they're not yet in school, right? So they've been going to the school that they will be going to and orienteering, and I am getting a bit worried about what's going to happen next year.
Have you been supplied with like the list of supplies and things you've got to get?
No. Now I'm more stressed than I was. Can I tell you? So I've been doing a list. I've actually done a list of what things I'm going to put.
Okay, now I see you got your iPad.
No, I do.
Your list up here.
I'm going to do banana muffins. And I'm gonna cook them and bake them and put them in the freezer and then bring them out every day so it's frozen and fresh.
When do you have time for this?
Banana muffins in the freezer. I'm gonna do quiches in little cupcake quiches. Does that make sense?
You're such a lesbian.
You can do chickpea snacks. So chickpeas, salted chickpeas, because they're not nuts.
I need to ask.
Yeah.
When are you going to find time for this?
No.
Because my kids get like a Straz sandwich. They're happy with that.
What's that? That's like
Straz.
Like, you know, a ham like sandwich?
It's something like that.
Yeah.
All right. They want like butter and that's it. They want the crust cut. They get that.
Right.
Apple.
No. An apple's okay. That's a good idea, right? Because an apple has got its own little jacket, like covering.
It's a little jacket.
It's own little jacket, whatever you call it. Then I was thinking you could do like a little Greek yogurt with maybe some sultanas and a bit of a honey dash through it or something like that.
You really haven't been a parent long.
No, I'm thinking if I'm the gay in the school village, I will do my utmost to make every other straight parent feel as inadequate as possible. I will be rolling sushi if I have to, so that these kids can have sushi and a piece of ginger on the side if that's what I need to do.
Like the little soy sauce dipped in a little serving bowl.
You watch it.
Exactly.
I will hand sew their backpack if that's what it's required to stand out. If I-
There's more from the Family Matters team in just a moment on Joy
94.9. You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. We are celebrating our first year on air on Joy 94.9. So we've just showed some... I don't know if there are our highlights, but definitely the moments where we laughed at each other.
Look, we are – serious was never the thing we promised, but we do have some serious interviews, and we do like to keep them light.
Lighthearted, yeah.
Lighthearted, and you'll get an idea of that tonight. But we wanted to start right at the very beginning, and we have, you know, we have two of the first people we interviewed. But before we play these clips, if you want to hear from if there's a particular show you love,
get in touch with the crew. Yeah, wish us happy birthday or something.
Yeah, wish us happy birthday.
Yeah, 0427
bring us cake.
Joy 949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au. Actually, ring the number as well. I can maybe.
Yeah, Dave can dash
answer
out.
The phone, 1-300-JOY-949.
That's right. So our first two guests that we ever had on air was the fabulous Jack Tomlins and Ro Allen, and here's a little taste from that interview.
Well, I called you a bit of a matriarch of the GLBTI same-sex parenting community.
You did.
Is that okay? Is that allowed?
That's okay.
Shall we keep him?
I'm going to embrace matriarch. I think I quite like that.
I could have said grandma.
No. I don't like grandma. I don't like grandma, but matriarch I can live with.
So, Jack, tell us a bit about yourself. We know you've got a few kids of your own.
Yes.
I'd love to hear a bit of your story.
I do. Okay, my story. At home is my partner, Sarah, who's Canadian. We have been together for 23 years.
Wow.
Which, right, I think. Thank
yes.
you. And we have three kids. We have a son, Corin, who is 13 and a half, and two girls who are 9 and 11, Scout wow. and Cully.
And where were the kids born? As in,
they were all born in Melbourne. Mm. We had rather a long IVF journey, which I won't share tonight, but for another time. And we went through Melbourne IVF.
How at the time when you went through, sorry for me to dwell on a couple of these things, but I'm fascinated. At the time yep. that you went through with your eldest, who is now 13,
mm-hmm.
what was it like? You know what I mean? What was it? How many other people were doing it?
Look, I think there were a number of other people doing it, but it was tough. So at this stage, you could not access fertility services in Victoria. I went to Sydney initially, so I did 6 cycles of donor insemination in Sydney and then 3 of IVF in Sydney, which, as you can imagine, was a complete and utter nightmare. And then 2 in Albury-Wodonga, which is just across the border.
Mm.
And, you know, oddly, this little country town had this influx of lesbian couples on a regular basis going to the fertility clinic there.
In the morning, they'd go to fertility. In the afternoon, go to the pub and play the poker. Because
yep,
that's how
right.
the laws were in Albury back
that's
then. It was
exactly
completely
right.
different.
Yeah, just across Jeez. The border. At that stage, there was a law change, which was brought about by John McBain from Melbourne IVF, and we could then access services down in Melbourne.
Wow.
Mm. One of the things I've been doing a lot of recently is training with health and human service providers working with Rainbow Families. So a very, very broad range of service providers who might have some families starting to come through their service. And they're, a lot of people are, you know, quite supportive, but they just don't really have the skills or the knowledge or their expertise or the confidence to work with families. So I've been working a lot recently with maternal and child health nurses, which has been really interesting.
Yeah. Jack, I read this on your blog and I was quite surprised at some of the responses that you were getting on the feedback form from nurses. Could you kind of talk us through what you sort of and some of the feedback?
Maternal child health nurses, I think, they fall into that category generally. They're pretty good. They're pretty supportive. There's some old school ones there too. They're a bit nervous. They're always a bit worried about saying the wrong thing and they just don't have the confidence. A lot of what I do in the training is to tell stories about my experience of going through the system and of other families that I know, and I talk about the kids a lot. It works really well. And what I try to do is just to create a very relaxed atmosphere where people can feel comfortable and can ask questions. And the response I get is fantastic. It's been really positive. And what's been interesting with maternal child health nurses is just to see the numbers of Rainbow Families that they're working with. So
Wow.
And I was at invited to attend one of their recent annual conferences,
mm-hmm.
and I had a stall throughout the day, and I think I must have spoken to maybe 200 people. And my opening question was, you know, have you worked with same-sex family? And of that couple of hundred, there were maybe six or seven that said no.
Wow. Oh,
regional okay. Australia, all Victoria, all over. What I'm finding is when I do a show of hands at the beginning of each session is that increasingly so many of them have worked with lesbian couples and gay dads as well.
It
so
just feels, it feels like there's been this tipping point that happened yep. a couple – I almost feel like 5 years ago,
yep.
the idea that – you know, 5 years ago, the idea that, you know, it would be kind of generally understood and accepted, it was kind of a bit – you know, not the norm, but all yeah. of a sudden
I
now,
think there's been an yeah. exponential shift in the last 5 years. I think that would be right. It's been a huge. I always say we're an emerging market. There's a lot of, hell yeah.
So from the nurses you have been training, what's been sort of the general, like, first up question from the nurses who haven't had any experience with same-sex couples?
One of the things that they are very unsure about is the role of the non-birth mum or dad, but generally mum, if it's maternal child health nurses, what the role of that person is and how they might support and affirm them. They're very anxious about language and using the right words about donor or dad and just trying to get a sense of how our families might be different. And one of the things I do is I talk about the fact that, you know, having kids is the same the world over and irrespective of your sexuality, especially in the beginning. But there are specific things that are different for us. And I always start by outlining what those different things are. And there's a few light bulb moments yeah. there, which is really good.
And that's just the tradition of people thinking male figure, female figure.
Yeah, that's right. And you wouldn't necessarily think, you know, without giving it a little bit of thought, that there are particular differences. You still got a newborn baby and you've still got all those things to deal with.
Yeah.
But there are. And I think that's what's been really interesting to explore and share with those staff.
We had a child maternal health nurse come in, and we weren't sure how it might go and, you know, be able to get one, but it was quite easy. And because we have twins, I think you get this special treatment that they come to your house for quite a few visits. So it was wonderful. We got great treatment. And we had a friend who worked at a company that made formula. And so we kind of got free formula for a brand I won't mention. Tom and Alice had some pretty terrible diarrhea for the first few weeks. And we said to the child maternal health nurse, you know, I don't really know. The kids have got diarrhea. And she said, the first thing she said, of course, was, you know, what formula are you giving them? And we said, we're giving them X brand formula. And she had spectacles on and she raised her eyes above them and she said, well, you get for what you pay for, you know. So, so we went straight to the most expensive brand that we could find in the shopping zone.
Adrian, just put your hand a little bit further in your pocket, mate, okay?
That's right. For 18 more years.
Now, Ro, I got to ask, what actually is the commissioner role? Because not a lot of people actually would know.
You've done it for a year. Come on. You worked it out by now.
It's lucky it's radio and you didn't see my face there.
It on the dance floor at Fritz and Boots.
You want 20 words or less. Well, look, we just had a planning day today, so I can tell you that Commissioner for Gender and Sexuality, my role is to make Victoria a safer and more inclusive space for LGBTIQ people. I mean, that's as simple as that. And I do it through all sorts of wacky ways. Some serious, like help with legislation. And so it's a pretty full dance card, you know. And it's been 12 months. It's been amazing. And I think I've met a lot of people. And, you know, and it's just, but you, like, there's no normal day. Like, what's an average day? Like,
yes.
You're kind of in everything. So I'm an expert in nothing and a little bit in everything. But most of what I do is tell, you know, I hear people's stories and then I retell the stories in the right places is gotcha. How I kind of explain it.
Now, what so far has been your greatest achievement within your first year on this job?
Oh, one thing. It's like picking a child and you run from a burning building.
Which one's my favorite?
One of the ones that I'm the most proud of would be helping a Mildura support group for young LGBTI people get started. You know, anyone could have done that, but they wrote to me and I rang them and they were a bit surprised when I rang them and then I made three other calls and in 20 minutes there was a support group. It's amazing. Wow. Like, that is incredible.
No,
like,
definitely.
That is incredible. And you just kind of, the word commissioner kind of helps and people kind of return your calls and then you sort of say, hey.
I'd return my call if the commissioner called me.
I'm going to start doing that now, Gina, commissioner for something. just so that people can return my call.
And then,
Gina, commissioner of family issues.
Hey, you know, I just, and like, I, it was bizarre. It was back before I had any staff. stuff. So I got this letter and somebody, you know, in the department gave it over to me. And you know, they'd started to write the response letter for me, you know, which was, thank you very much for your letter, blah, blah, blah. Here are the support agencies that you can contact, whatever. I'm like, no, why don't we just do something? And so I Googled a social worker in Mildura and found a woman and rang her and said, if you were going to run a support group, where would you put it? And she told me in United Care, and I'm formerly United Care CEO. So that was pretty easy. So I rang the CEO and said, hey, why aren't you running a group? She said, yeah, why aren't I running a support group? I mean, yeah. You know, it's like, you know, some of the things, you know, and you do really, really hard, really long slog things like big football games. And then other things are just really, you know, really.
It's because you have commissioner in front of your
name. Yeah, that's right.
Do you do that, like, that go to my head, but
when you're trying to get a restaurant reservation or, you know, table for the commissioner? You're going to now, aren't you?
We all are.
Yeah, yeah. See, this is why you bring back for the good ideas. Ro, I wanted to ask, obviously this show is about rainbow families. If there was one thing you could change to make life for rainbow families better, what would it be? Big question.
Other than a line of butch maternity wear?
Well, actually, I reckon there's some money in that.
Yeah, I reckon.
There's huge money in that. What would I wear if I ever went down that?
Look, I think safe, inclusive education for our kids is really important. I mean, I could list off, I give you 10 things, you know. I do have an 8-year-old daughter, and when I met my partner, now Kay, of 10 years, just hit 10 years, she's older than me, and so she said, if you want to have a family, then you know, you're going to have to do it yourself. And that was a real bolt of lightning. I'm like, no, I just want a family. I don't want to do it myself. and that was back in the day when we had bad legislation, not that we got perfect legislation, but we're getting there, where you had to be medically infertile. Mm. So we had to prove that, we had Ian, which is our daughter's father, and he's a gay male friend. And so we had to, you know, go home 6 times and prove we were medically infertile, which, you know, anyway, I wasn't. And I got pregnant on the very first insemination, which is painful for many, many couples to hear out there who've been through years and years and years and years. So who would have thought? Who would have thunk it? I was incredibly fertile. I think it was because I just assumed it wasn't going to happen, and I was pregnant. So, yeah, I carried Alex, which was absolutely, you know, there's a whole book in that.
And that's another story.
Yeah, that is another story. And, you know, then that has really pushed me to make sure that, you know, health services are more inclusive. And today I think it's about our kids being safe at school. I think I mentioned it before. And then, and you know, that that comes up everywhere. And the commissioner's kid is not immune from this. And that
of course
hits me at home right there, you know, like. And so inner city school, it wasn't a safe school, but I said, yeah, it'll be right. And, of course, my partner is always right. And, of course, because you love that. And so, yeah, she was bullied and, you know, and she was told that, you know, her parents were gay and her parents should be dead and by an 8-year-old. Ooh. And she's 8. So, you know, this is an inner city school, you know, this is, we've got a lot more work to do, you know, and I don't think it's not up to rainbow parents to do all this work, all heavy lifting. And, you know, that's why the Victorian government plays a big role. People may know, we came from the country and moved down here for the job, and we never had any problem in the country school in Benalla, you know, nothing but completely embraced as a family. Mm. So it was quite a shock to actually have that. So, you know, it's not a rural, regional versus
Melbourne
thing.
And I think that's
thing.
Surprising to hear, because there is this, you know, idea about there that, oh, if you're in the city, everyone in the city understands everything.
Oh, yeah.
Very cosmopolitan, very savvy here.
Let's blow that myth.
If you're gay, you move to the city. You
know? Yeah, that's right.
When Alex went to school for that sort of the first get to know you kind of day, move up class or whatever it was, they had this game where you write 2 things that are real and 1 thing that's false, and you put it in the bucket and then you pull it out. And anyway, one of the things she wrote, because she didn't have my full title back then, she wrote, "My mum's the commissioner for sex." Anyway, there is a God, because there wasn't time for the teacher to pull that one out.
Oh. And did the teacher, when you got there, say, your job?
Pretty much when we thought we better ring the teacher and just say, hey, the way, I'm not the commissioner for sex.
I mean, that's a whole other job.
You are listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9, and we are celebrating our 1 year on air. Happy birthday, Family Matters. The very lovely producer, Gina. You've been the person behind all this, and our next clip coming up is Rodney Chang Cruz from Gay Dads Australia.
That's right.
He popped in to give us an insight and also
gay men have a baby.
Yeah, of course. Gave me some dating advice. I remember. I'm not sure if it's in this clip or not. Also, we are talking to the skipper of Chicks Talking Footy, Fiona Newton, who was how many weeks pregnant this?
She was 37 weeks pregnant during this interview.
That's exploding material, isn't it?
It was exploding Adrian's brain how two ladies make a baby, as he liked to explain it.
Well, he's got to think about food and
lesbians.
Like,
just getting that word out. It was a very funny interview. And again, these are just snippets of these great interviews. Please go back and see the podcast, the full podcast, to get the full idea of the madness that ensued. But yes, we do serious, but we do light, and sometimes we like to mix a little bit of both, as you're about to hear.
The gay dad with Ronnie Chang Cruz.
And the other gay dad, Adrian.
Yeah, Joy Royalty, he goes away in the office.
The younger one.
Whenever anyone asks me about, hey, I've got questions about how to have kids, you're the go-to guy. You must get a lot of people come to you and ask questions in any given week.
Yes.
The gay dad guru.
That's a good one.
I don't like
that. That's going to stick.
You should put that on your business card.
Well, look, we do get lots of people contacting us every week, mainly gay men and couples, but sometimes we get single men, sometimes we get single women as well. And surprisingly, we get a lot of grandmothers contacting us asking for their children.
That's right.
Is that Dave's mum? Has she been calling you again?
She has. Yes, of course.
And they obviously are Googling, they come across Gay Dads Australia and they read some of the website and they want to know, my son's just come out, can he have a child? And I said, well, yes, he can. Probably not right now, but, you know, he can. So
he's probably too young.
He's probably too young. How old is he? Oh, he's 12.
Yeah. Probably not.
But it's really about just networking and sharing information and giving guys the opportunity to ask the 101 questions that lead to the next 101 questions. As you know, having done surrogacy yourself, it's not this straightforward process.
What are the options available to a couple of gay guys living in Australia if they are looking to have kids? What are the obvious options?
The obvious options is that you steal one. you want legal ones.
Okay. Sorry.
And we don't condone child abduction here on Joy 94.9.
Yes.
The obvious ones
are... It's frowned upon.
The obvious ones, well, the biggest group are straight or gay guys who have had relationships with heterosexual relationships and have kids from that. So they often continue to parent once they've come out. Mm. Foster care is another one. Mm. It doesn't make you a permanent parent, but it is a very rewarding way to parent children.
And I think we'll be talking about some of these in the coming weeks, including fostering in particular. Yeah.
But the main two ways that gay men become parents, the first one is via co-parenting, usually with a lesbian couple or a single woman, and surrogacy.
From a surrogacy perspective, How does that work?
You've got two options.
Yep.
You can do surrogacy in Victoria, New South Wales or Queensland, but we'll just talk about Victoria if you like, altruistic surrogacy. Or you can go overseas and do commercial surrogacy. Currently, the only places that you can do that are Canada and the US.
Are they? I'm hearing Cambodia.
People are trying it in Cambodia, but it's not recommended and it's likely to be shut down very soon.
Which opens up to another question I've got, which is there's the debate, I suppose, for want of a better word, conversation about legalising commercial surrogacy in Australia. And I'm interested in your perspective on that and whether that would open up options, I guess, for a lot more gay men to have children because it takes out that barrier of having to go overseas.
I think it's a great question. I think it's a really important discussion. If you think about altruistic surrogacy at the moment, it's still $60,000, $70,000 in Victoria to do it. That $60,000, $70,000 goes to everybody except the woman who's doing the work.
How dare they? That's right. There's all this money that goes to everyone except
the IVF,
for some reason.
The courts get it at the end when you go for your parentage order.
And I just love how difficult the process is and how regulated it is. That's a good thing, right? It's a difficult, regulated process for a reason because it enables you to have confidence that there's quality and control and all the right.
And everybody is fully informed and understands what their role and responsibilities are in the process. I think the argument for commercial or compensated surrogacy is that you still have to be an altruistic person to want to do surrogacy. You're only going to get compensated around $30,000, which is about what you would earn if you worked at McDonald's.
Yeah, it's not going to be an income stream.
No. It's a compensation for the inconvenience, the effort of carrying somebody else's child.
The joy, Roger. The joy.
It is a joy, but it's not a replacement income.
No.
I mean, people
aren't
going to say, well, this is my career. I'm just going to pop babies.
So it's not
going to make money out of it. When people decide they want to have a baby, there's this phase they go through called baby lust.
Yeah.
And they're just thinking about, I want a baby, I want a baby, I want a baby. And it's all going to work. We're best friends, we're best mates. and we trust each other. We've known each other for 10 years. It's all going to work. And what Beck would have seen is lots of the disasters.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm privileged enough to see a lot of the successes. You don't hear about them because they're successes.
And they don't come and see me.
The successes work because people understand what it is to have a baby. And they may have witnessed it in their own families or with friends, etc. When a baby's born, it's not the situation where the gay men said, oh, well, we want the baby to stay at our place every second week. Because that's not what babies do. Babies eat, sleep, and poop. That's all they do for the first year, really. They don't, and if you had them over at your place, you were going to be walking around on tiptoes and trying not to wake them. What the best thing is in the first year after a child's born, is that the parents, both sides of the parents, get together at least once a week and have a share a moment, a meal, and learn about each other. Learn about each other post-baby and understand what each other's... You've got to build the relationship with the parents first. The children will come. The children will naturally come. And the children will actually dictate it as they get older.
It's like the lesbian birds and bees.
And Alan Key's like an engagement ring,
exactly.
Really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we first of all had to choose which one of us.
Yeah, how
I was just going to ask that. How do you flip a coin? Is like a version of like thumb wrestle?
Thumb wrestling on the show.
Paper, rock, scissors.
Paper, rock, scissors.
Yeah. Best out of three. Best out of five. Best out of seven. No, well, basically I'm 2 years older, so and we wanted to leave the option open for both of us to have a go. Yeah, I see how it goes with one, and if we don't like it, we won't do it again.
It's pretty funny.
You can't give them back, can you?
Yeah, I don't know. You probably shouldn't say that. You should both. Yeah. You could both get pregnant at the same time.
Yes, I have. Oh, got, no. I do have a couple of friends that did that. Whoa. And I wanted to check them into a mental asylum. I mean, how you really do? I mean, for me personally, being pregnant is actually quite a big journey. Having a partner that's in the support role and one that's doing the work is for me.
No. Sinking your menses is one thing, but sinking your hormones around pregnancy, I'm sorry.
Oh yeah. God.
It's just a sign of the cross right
trimester.
There. Yeah, right.
So it is that hormonal.
Oh, first trimester, I was bawling my eyes out.
Oh,
and then
really?
Renee would say, what's wrong? And I'm like, nothing. Nothing is actually wrong. Renee's actually got a really low sperm count, so.
I can't believe I laughed at that. That's a bit of a dad joke there.
Yeah. Well, she's shooting blanks. That's the other one.
That's
pretty
funny.
No,
so known or unknown. So what impacted your decision to go known or unknown?
Well, we first of all, I guess we didn't have a friend that we felt completely comfortable asking.
Yeah.
I've seen friends with bad experiences. So a couple of friends of mine in Sydney used a known donor, a best friend of 20 years. So someone you'd expect to be good with the whole process. Once they had two boys, one each. Once they were 3 and 1, he sued them for custody.
Whoa. Cool.
So, and they actually, the law hasn't really caught up with that scenario, or hadn't at the time. It was about 5 years ago now. But they had no protection. The courts initially were treating it like a divorce. Well, it took us a while to get a donor, actually, because there's a long waiting list.
Oh. Is there really?
Yeah. So there's not enough jizz in the world, apparently.
Oh, goodness. So how many did you have to choose from? How long was your list?
We had to wait 6 months until we got our first profile.
Oh, my God.
Stop it.
So I think because the laws changed around the confidentiality, once the kid turns 18, they can seek out that person that put a lot of people off.
My brain's boggled on this. So you had to wait that many months and guys pretty much just disposed of this stuff almost every morning.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm kind of going, is it because...
I should chase people with a Vegemite jar.
And that was a clip from Rodney Chang Cruz and our skip from Chick Stalking Foodie crew, Fiona Newton. What was her tag? It said there was not enough jizz
not enough
in the
jizz
world.
In the world.
Wowee.
Supply and demand.
Wowee. I've enjoyed also Proud to Play. We've had them on as well. We've had the My Midwives Melbourne on. And they've
midwives?
Become a part of the family. Ann Dell on as well.
And
Beck's mum.
And even Beck's dad finally joined us.
Yeah, he chimed in.
And we've even done joint shows with Stand Up Straight. They've become part of our family. But another mum that we've embraced as our own is the fabulous and the absolutely wonderful Jo Hurst.
Jo is the author of The Gender Fairy, which we've seen all over social media, if you haven't. Now, what is the latest things happening with you, Jo?
Well, I guess most of my time's taken up with advocacy for trans and gender diverse children these days. So there's lots going on at the moment. There's the plebiscite, which we don't want. There's Victorian birth certificate laws, which we are trying to reform so that children and adults can change their gender on their birth certificates. There's government still going for safe schools, especially in New South Wales at the moment. Mm-hmm. We still need reform for stage two hormone laws. So there's a lot of advocacy and work being done all the time.
Okay. Jo, was becoming an advocate an automatic reaction for you?
Not really. I think every parent becomes an automatic advocate only because we're at that point in history and time where a society isn't quite ready for trans children. So you automatically become an advocate to your immediate family, to your wider family, to your school, to your community, to the doctor, to everybody. Mm. But further than that, it can be quite difficult. I thought, oh, I'll just write a book and this will be great for children and really help them. But I had no idea what was coming. No idea. I think that's why you see so many mothers of transgender children out there advocating, because many of us are heterosexual, cisgender, white women. And we are coming from this sense of real privilege where we have never had our rights questioned in our whole lives. If someone is questioning the rights of our child, no way. Mm. So it's like, hang on a minute. You know, you don't even realize that there's this sort of discrimination around.
Because we have straight privilege. You.
We have straight privilege, straight white privilege.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is these children know who they are at this age more than most people at 40. No, these kids have an idea. They're not tainted by society or anything like that. They know
they're supported.
Exactly. Mm. And
even if they're still working it out, they need to be supported to do so.
Yeah.
I think that's really important as well. And the research shows that as well.
That was from an earlier interview with Jo Hurst. You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9, celebrating 1 year on air. Happy birthday to us.
Yay. 1 year.
Jeez.
Now, lovely producer Jeannie, you put together a team of five to come onto Family Matters.
Yes.
Mama Mish, what motivated you to be a part of the team?
Well, I found that when it came to trans issues from trans positions and the other shows I do, like currently now with Trans Point of View, is we don't really talk about the family side of trans. It's things from dating as well as the family side of things that we just really ignore. And I loved that we had such a core group of people coming from each different sort of pillar of the community. And so me as a trans woman sitting with, you know, a lesbian couple, you know, a gay dad and, you know,
straight just, family lawyer.
Straight family
gay
lawyer.
Dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Twink.
What? No. is that for the next show, Dave?
Keep that hush hush. it's some of the parts I've loved the most is us being role players and putting ourselves into the story somehow. And we've got a clip here where Beck and I play the role of two parents.
And can I say, this sounds like a really silly clip, but the information that actually evolves by you and Beck role playing in this clip is actually vital information for, I think, gay dads there especially.
I've got no idea where we come up with the names, but here it is from earlier on Family Matters.
Let's discuss Dave and Bruce.
Oh,
they want kids.
Very sexy.
Want kids. They're definitely going to bring in kids.
We're painting our walls blue and pink as we speak.
Catherine, what should they be thinking about?
Well, they need a uterus. Well,
excellent advice, Catherine.
Rent a womb.
Let's say they're going to do
it. They can have mine.
Let's say they're going
to. Okay.
That's my
Beck. We're going to use Beck's uterus.
Oh my god.
Wow.
That's
well,
why Catherine's got doctors. Yeah. A doctor in front of her.
Okay, yes. So Dave and Bruce have got my uterus.
Okay. Oh, yours. Okay. You are acting as a surrogate, or are you going to do this as a co-parenting gag? What's the arrangement?
I think we'll do co-parenting. I think it'll be fine.
Oh, my. Poor kid.
Okay. Well, they're good friends, Catherine, so what could go wrong, right?
You had a breath test.
Indeed, what could go wrong? So whose sperm are we using?
Mine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, Bruce.
So, poor Bruce. But, you know, actually Sally can jump in here because this now we're starting to paint a legal picture now, because it actually means, bizarrely, that the legal parents of this child are not you and Bruce.
Beck and her partner, potentially.
Yeah. Yeah. So if Beck's got a partner, it's going to be...
I'd have to find one, but let's assume I do.
Okay. Okay. So
use your imagination, parent, listeners.
Yeah. Even though the boys say they're going to be doing this with Beck, if she's got a partner, her partner and her are the legal parents of the child.
Mm.
So we've already got the first little tricky bit that the legal parentage is going to be different to perhaps the intended psychological parents of this little baby.
So I'm a bit confused. So Bruce and I are looking after the child. Beck's the co-parent, but all of a sudden Beck's partner or boyfriend.
Let's call him Rory Sloane.
Okay, Adelaide football. So Rory Sloane has now all of a sudden got rights to my kid.
Prima facie, yeah, because...
No, but it's not. Wow. Rory's not the bio dad.
No,
you know, Dave,
of course not.
Dave got a jerky baster, and so Dave's the bio dad, right?
No.
Oh, he's not. A biological dad, yeah, well, but not the legal parent.
Yeah. The legal...
So there's another, yeah, the thing is, I mean, Sally, you correct me on this, right, but if a woman is in a relationship, her partner is the parent of that child.
That's right.
So what if it's after the, like, let's say the child's 6 years old by then and Beck finds a partner?
No, it's at the time of conception.
Time of conception only.
Time of conception, right, okay. So interesting. So is there something that you can do contractually to get around that?
Not contractually. You'd need to actually apply to the court and actually...
post the event?
Bruce and Dave would need to get parental responsibility orders. And I think Dave would get a declaration of parentage because he's a biological parent, but Bruce couldn't. He'd have to get parental responsibility orders.
And what's a parental responsibility order? We're into exciting territory, and I tell you why. I have a feeling it might be relevant to my situation.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, actually, you might want to start writing some stuff down. Yeah. Right?
Bruce and I, we have a six-year-old child. Beck's the co-parent, and we've decided that we want to move to France. Beck doesn't want us to move overseas.
Catherine's laughing.
Sorry.
Catherine, can you help?
You're not going.
Oh, au revoir. No, not quite.
How old's the child?
6 years old.
Is it a little girl or a little boy?
It's a boy, a little Charlie.
A Charlie, okay. Does Charlie see Beck?
Yeah, every around, second weekend.
Pops around for the footy game here and there.
Oh, yeah, we go to the footy together, yeah.
Go to the footy, okay. Every second weekend?
Yeah,
I think you're not going straight to Paris.
Oh, I'm not going to France,
you're
Gina.
Going to Paris. But I think we all learned something from that.
Yeah, oy. Very some vital information there for our audience.
That was a little scary.
It was a little bit.
But, I know, and that's the thing. Sometimes, yeah, we use a bit of comedy to get across some actually really important and complex information like the law, which we did there. And sometimes we like to give parenting advice and...
Yeah, well, I guess if I've never really met anybody more blasé than myself, apart from Adrian.
Possibly.
And here's his
some parenting
story about
advice.
Book week.
Yeah, book week and what to do when the kids bring home stuff from childcare.
Now, Beck, we know that you've got a lot of issues and we know that that's natural.
I was wondering where this is leading.
But you've got one issue in particular. What is it, Beck?
This week I've got a massive issue.
Oh, no.
So I like the Facebook, okay? The Facebook?
These days.
So all of my Facebook this week, because, you know, all my friends have kids, much to my mother's chagrin, I do not. But anyway, that's another story for another time. They're all on about book week, and book week is hard, and you have to find a costume, and this person's got this costume, and the kid wants this costume, and I don't understand.
Yeah.
Help me, Dad.
Book week is for me part of a bigger running theme around the many things that childcare just impose upon my life and make it hard. So love books. Books have done wonderful
things.
We're
fine with books. Books tick.
But I got an email on Monday night, and it said, just reminding all the parents out there, this is from the childcare, that tomorrow's the start of book week, and bring your children dressed up as their favourite book character.
What?
Oh, like, wow.
I don't think I got an email. I don't think I got a memo on
that. It's not a reminder.
So I rang Ralph and I'm like, Ralph, it's true. It's book week. Have you organised something? And he said, I didn't know it was book week. What do you mean it's book week? So Monday night, we needed to figure out what to do for book week.
Do you actually...
So I'm going to put you on the spot. Well, what would you do? You've got to go tomorrow to school, book week. Yep. You've got a couple of hours. You've got to feed the kids, put them to bed. You've got to wash the dishes.
This is stressful.
Clean the house, put the washing on for the next day. Then you're going to have to,
So I have two thoughts. The first one is, do parents really go, oh, what is your favorite book? Let's be that character. Or do they walk around and go, oh, we've got a sheet and I know there's a book with a ghost.
Yes.
Is that more
really? Maybe Casper.
Casper. Or there's a dressing gown. You're a wise man from Jesus or something.
I didn't think of that one.
I think an easy one's Harry Potter. There's a little black cape, little lightning bolt on the forehead.
Only you and 80% of parents in Melbourne have thought of that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we didn't know what to do. And so Tom and Alice, only five, and, you know, they weren't really sure quite what to do. So we did exactly what you said. We went to a box that we've got full of, like, random costumes.
Made it work.
And I said, Tom, do you want it? And Tom's got a green onesie that's like a dragon. And I said, Tom, do you want to go as that dragon in that book?
You know, that book
that you love. It's about how that girl sees a dragon in the museum. Yeah, do you want to go as that? And he said, oh, my God, I'd love to. And I'm like, oh, winning.
You're like, tick, yeah.
And then Alice, do you want to go as Wonder Woman? And she said,
from the novel adaptation of Wonder Woman.
That's right.
I tell you though, Alice makes a mean Wonder Woman. She's not messing around.
Girl power.
Yeah. So she went as Wonder Woman and they found $1 million and they thought it was wonderful. And we went to childcare. All the boys were dressed as Spider-Man and all the girls were dressed as Elsa. So it's really just dress-ups day.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought. Although I imagine there's some like super parents that do competitive parenting, isn't there? And they're like, right, well, my child's been reading Charles Dickens and here is my hand-sewn Oliver costume and the bowl I made in...
I was very pleased that all the other parents lowered the bar. I almost wanted to text Spencer's mum and Spencer. Yeah, and Lila's mum and say, could you just lower, you know, and just complain? Oh, we've got nothing. We've got nothing. Can you make sure you bring nothing as well? But anyway.
Yeah.
But this is another ongoing problems. The other thing that childcare do, and I would, you know, maybe topic for another time, but Becky, you do not understand how much crap that my children make in crafts at childcare. And I love my children dearly, but honestly, cut it. I do not need this level of useless cardboard in my house.
Is there anything practical that they bring home?
Nothing.
Nothing at all?
Nothing. They think it's practical. They glued some leaf on a tissue box and, you know, they're expecting me to hold it up as like art and I just can't and I don't.
Honesty box, Adrian. Mm. Do you just chuck it in the bin?
Oh, I've got a whole process. No, you can't chuck it in the bin.
Why?
Well, but Alice might have a heart attack if she figures out you've thrown in the bin her like beloved
spaghetti on paper. 2016.
Yeah, we've got the purgatory box. So we've got this whole box that's hidden up high in the laundry, and everything goes in that box. And if Alice says, "Hey, where's that sheep I made out of cotton wool?" I can say, "Oh, I've got it, Alice. Just go to your bedroom, and it's in the other." So she doesn't know there's a purgatory box. Bring out the whatever it is, and that's fine. But when that box gets full, it's got like no bottom. I just kind of lift it up. I take all the stuff that's in the bottom that they've forgotten about over the past month straight in the bin. So it's kind of that in-between stage.
We need like another coloured coat. You know, we've got the red bin, the yellow bin. We need like another coloured bin just for all the trash and toys that you've been throwing out.
That's right. These are the important hot tips that parents all over Melbourne have been looking for.
Dave and I are learning so much.
You listen to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. We are celebrating our first year on air and we are welcome to the studio, gate crashing. Beck, how are you?
Not gate crashing, part of the family, mate.
Now, what motivated you to get involved with the Family Matters team?
Tonight or general?
Just in general, in the one year.
In the 1 year.
I feel like you're not making enough of the fact that I've just turned up for the party at the last minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, from anyway. Well, look, I would like to say it's because I'm a family lawyer and I feel strongly about the Rainbow Family community and I wanted to help them and be a part of it. But basically, I was badgered by Gina.
I'm pretty good at that, aren't I?
Yeah.
Badgered you all to kind of be part of this
badgered
journey.
A senseless Gina and we loved it.
Is this why you bought me all those coffees?
Yes.
She buttered me up.
Speaking of that, I think it's a good time to cut to an ad when they all figured out what I've done over the last year.
Speaking of Beck, we've got a massive wolf girt mashup to finish the show.
The bears are anxiously waiting next door. So
as they often are.
Let's get close to
back
that.
Back here in front of us.
David. You've asked this question.
Oh, did I?
You're in trouble, David.
What's the question?
What brought you to this fold?
Well, the apps weren't working and the bars weren't working, so I thought I'd go to the airwaves and hashtag find David date.
Still haven't found one.
A year later, I still haven't found a date. So,
but you know what? People here are still single. So SMS 0427 joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au. Go to our Facebook and Dave is constantly available.
Clearly, you aren't doing a good job for Dave, so I'm not asking you to be part my dating person either. So
fair play, Michelle. Fair play.
I better not say that. I was about to say a Celebrity Apprentice host phrase. You're fired, but I better not mention that guy's name right now on it.
Yeah. Now, Dave, this next thing you've been working on all afternoon.
I'm excited, and it's
something special for the Bears, and it's something for Beck, and it's something for our audience.
It's something where my groove out and the wolf morphed in, and I haven't, you know, to be honest with you, I'm going to put it out there right now. I know I'm part of the team, but I'm not a fan of it. I'm not that stupid. But you know, you guys get a big buzz out of it, so
the twink doesn't have a thing for bears, obviously.
No. He maybe should, Michelle. Maybe he would get a date.
Bear curious Dave.
That's right.
I'm excited. It's been a pleasure to be a part of you guys for a year and hopefully for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Not a part of us. Let's, you know. Anyway.
I'm sure we did a little special.
What are the bears waiting for?
So, yes, we remind everyone, please check out the podcast if you'd like to hear the full clips of those interviews. But in the meantime, we would just like to say to our bears.
And we love this moment of the night where Bec comes up with something semi-funny, I guess.
Tonight, not my best, but I still like it. I think it's nice. Wolf, grab your closest bear and give them a big cuddle.
Wolf, girl. That's Family Matters. Good night, everyone.
All right. I've been working on this, so bear with me. You ready?
And also, before you go, they are the Euro Bears tonight, the topic. Stay tuned.
Well.
Wolf, Great Britain is in the United Kingdom, who are contestants in Eurovision.
Oh.
Come up with, you know, they like my little thing.
I don't know if they do.
No, I think they do. Wolf, grapes make really good wine.
I already said that. Wolf, good night.
Good night.
Yes.
Woodrop next.
Yes.
Bec, this is your favourite time of your evening. What have you got?
You ready?
Drum roll, please.
Wolf, Grampians are a really good place to go camping.
Didn't you say that last week?
No.
I don't know. Wolf, good night.
It's a little bit self-indulgent, but I just wanted to say, Wolf, greatest show ever because I got to sing it to everyone.
It's Family Matters. Good evening. And the Woodrop next. Wolf, we've got 10 more seconds. Good night, everybody.
Becky's crying with laughter. Did the bears enjoy that? I think
we
do love you, bears, and we do love our audience. Happy birthday, everyone. Good night.
Family Matters, brought to you by Joy Sponsor, Nichols Family Lawyers. Family law advice for the LGBTI community you can trust. NicholsLaw.com.au.
You've been listening to Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, with a light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.